Yeah, so late. Okay, we're very late. You don't have a lot of time today. In chapter 29 in Tanya, we learned that a person could have a spiritual malaise. We called it EDD, emotional deficit disorder. He's not functioning. It's not working. The normal things that would stimulate are not stimulating. He's going through the motions. He's contemplating. He's studying. He's mindful. But it's not reaching his heart. And we said, this is called Timtum Alev. What do you do? And Alter Rebbe's response or answer was, Yashpil Asatzme, bring yourself down. It's the arrogance that a person has. It's the conceit that a person has. A person's self-obsessed. This is what's not allowing the neshama that's inside to be revealed. And then the Alter Rebbe spoke about ways that a person could humble himself. Now, generally, depression and sadness is considered to be anthema. That's like the worst thing possible. Alter Rebbe said it earlier. He said this is the one thing that could bring a person down, unlike anything else. And Chachmei HaEmes, which is the euphemism that's used for the sages of Kabbalah, they distance the notion of sadness to the extreme. And I might add that of all the generations, our Rebbe was, you could say, most allergic to sadness. He hardly dwelt on anything sad. Really, he barely talked about the Holocaust. When people invoke the Holocaust all the time, he barely mentioned it. His brother was murdered, his brother-in-law and sister-in-law. He saw the Nazis, like, unfortunately, straight up. He barely escaped their clutches. But he barely talked about it. He only talked about positivity. He only focused on joy. He didn't want to talk negativity. He didn't talk about anything that could bring anybody to any kind of sadness. Except on very rare occasions. Mamash, very rare occasions. And this is, as a rule, that was the approach of Chassidus all along, but especially so in the approach of our Rebbe. And yet, the Alter Rebbe is now going to talk to us about the profit that could be gleaned from sadness. That sometimes that a person could be in a state of atzvos, and from this atzvos, he'll be able to come to the greatest of joy. Which does not mean that a person should look to be sad or depressed, but in the event that you're stuck there anyway, you may have to kind of use that to vault yourself into a higher and greater level of joyous intensity. And here is the issue. So we're learning chapter Tanya, as we started this Perek 2 weeks ago, Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31. And the Alter Rebbe has to acknowledge that the advice he gave us in chapters 29 and 30 of all the sobering thoughts, of all the things that are wrong, will easily bring us down. And Alter Rebbe says the reality is it's Yavi Lidei Atzvos Gedola. When a person thinks about all of his shortcomings, and a person thinks about all of his inadequacies, so this can bring a person down, as the Alter Rebbe discussed in previous chapters. So when a person is going to feel like this or think like this, he's going to come to Atzvos Gedola. The Alter Rebbe said, Lo Yochush. Ignore it. Do not be fazed by that. Even though Atzvos comes from Klipas Noga and it's not coming from Kedusha, even though that kind of sadness or the despondency is coming from Klipas Noga. Now, whenever we talk about something which is unholy, we use the metaphor of the peel. And the reason that we use that metaphor is because there's certain faith systems in their inability to deal with evil created, Rahman al-Utslan, a division between God and other realities. And it's as if God has to fight or struggle with other realities, which is unacceptable to us. Because we believe in Hashem Echad, that everything comes from God. Then the question, the big theological problem is, how could bad things come from God? Why would God create things like that? How is one question, and why is another question? So how is something called a tzimtzum? That's the answer of God concealing himself and diminishing himself, as it would seem, for appearance's sake. But then the question is why? And the answer, the metaphor that's used in one word, is klipa. And klipa means a peel, means a husk. And the reason that we have peels and husks and shells is in order to preserve the fruit. In order to preserve whatever is good, you have a peel around it that serves as the wall of protection or preservation. So therefore, whenever we talk about anything bad or evil, the natural language we use is klipa. Klipa meaning it serves a purpose. We believe that evil serves a purpose. Darkness frames the light. And therefore, whenever we look at a situation, if it's unholy, if it's ungodly, if it's ungoodly, we say, well, why did God create it? Why is God created continuously, every single moment? And the answer is it serves a purpose. And what happens when its purpose is served? Then it's gone. It has no intrinsic value. Whereas goodliness and godliness is eternal. It has an intrinsic value. Now, there are two kinds of klipa. As we discussed at great length, There's a klipa which has to be totally destroyed. And then there's a klipa which can be raised from the level of klipa, of peel, or husk, or shell, and it could be rarefied, it could be elevated, it could be sublimated. A simple example could be make people making candy out of the orange peels, or using a lot of paprika to change the chicken's skin into, instead of being discarded, in fact now becomes eaten, and so on and so forth. So the point that's being made then is that we have klipa, and we have klipas noiga. This klipa which is gone, far gone, has to be destroyed. Nobody eats eggshells. No matter how you dress it up, how colorful you make it, or what kind of spices you put on it, it's still something which is like nails on a blackboard. And then there's the klipa which can be returned, or the klipa which can be kind of reoriented, because it's klipas noiga, it's a shell of light. Meaning it has overt godliness that's in it. So atzvos is klipas noiga, but it's still klipa. It comes from tzadik dusha, but it's still klipa. And if it's still klipa, then how do you deal with it? It's a bad thing. And how do we know it's klipa? Because as we said, Alter Rebbe quoted the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, that when it comes to kedusha, we say oiz v'chedva m'kayme, there's only joy and strength in its side, so to speak, in its arena. And we know that the shechina is only shayre mitech simcha, that God's presence only comes in a state of joy. And that's why the Rambam, when he talks about prophets, or those who were aspiring prophets, referred to as bnei ha-neviim, the children of the neviim, which is a euphemism. He says that they would have music around them, and they would try to always be joyous and put themselves into a happy frame of mind, because only when you're a happy, elevated frame of mind, only then can you experience the presence of Hashem. The same thing is also, it comes to halacha. If a person is morose and he's upset and he's angry, then he's not going to be able to focus on the halacha. He's not going to be able to know what's right. He has to be in an elevated state, in a joyous state. Zalta Rebbe continues and he says, if what's bringing you down, what bothers you, is because of heavenly concerns. So a person is not depressed or despondent because the bank account is empty, or because the refrigerator is empty, or because his clothing are threadbare. No, that's not what's bringing him down. He's not upset because he doesn't have all the fame that he would like, or he doesn't have as many likes as his friends has on Facebook, so therefore he gets down about himself. Not about narishkeit. He's not thinking about anything superficial. What bothers him? What bothers him? What bothers him is that his davening wasn't the way his davening is supposed to be. What bothers him is that when he did somebody a favor, he didn't do it wholeheartedly. Then in the back of his mind, he was waiting for a payback. That bothers him. That bothers you? Not bad. That's pretty good. If that's what bothers you, the Alter Rebbe says that's b'chinas toiv shebenega. It's klipa. It's still klipa because you're unhappy. But that's already a klipa of light. A person who gets bothered for things like that, a person who gets bothered because he didn't daven enough, didn't learn enough, didn't give enough tzedakah, didn't love enough, didn't care enough, a person like that, no, this is already, he's in a good state. It's klipa, but it's a klipa which can easily be turned around. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, when a person makes the calculations and employs the strategies to fight EDD and get over this emotional block, that when he learns this, it should inspire him, and it should seed his heart, and it should develop his emotions, and he should become excited about all of this. And he's being bothered. And why is he being bothered? He's being bothered because at the end of the day, he says, I'm falling so short. I'm not the way I should be. So this is a klipa snega. This is a shell of light. And therefore, because it's klipa, v'lachein kasav ha'arizal, therefore the Arizal writes, although he never wrote anything himself, but it was written in the name of the students of the Arizal wrote, called Kisvi Arizal. In Pri Etz Chaim, in Shar Olam HaAsiyah, at the end of the first chapter, the Arizal writes, Sha'afilu daigas ha'aveinu yis'einu ru'uyo ki'im b'shas ha'vidui, that even worry about sin is not appropriate. You don't just think about sin. Let me think about my sins now. What are you doing that for? Well, you know, it's my sins. I have to worry about them. So Alter Rebbe says, Arizal says, b'shas ha'vidui. When you're coming to the point in davening where you have to say, Hashamnu b'gadnu, you have to actually acknowledge that you did sins. So that's when you should deal with it. But otherwise, when you're not doing Hashamnu b'gadnu, when you're not going over your various sins and confessing before Hashem, then what in heaven are you doing? That makes absolutely no sense. Why would you be involved with that? That's going to bring you down. V'lei b'shas ha'tfilah. When it comes time for davening, a person is going to think, oh, I'm such a fool, I'm an idiot, I'm a failure, I did A, B, and C, I missed all these balls, I forgot to cross those I's and dot those T's, and now I'm going to daven. How could I daven? And Hashem wants to hear my davening. Hashem's going to be disgusted with my davening. I'm such a bad person. And he gets down. What are you getting down about? That's not the right time. Davening in Talmud Torah, learning of Torah, how does that have to be done? Besimcha, in a state of joy. Which brings us to the question then, which that's because that's mitzadik dusha. So what do we need this atzvos for? Why dalta rebbe sele yochesh? It's klipas noiga. It's a shell of light. It's darkness. It's bad. It's not good. Says the Alter Rebbe now, Afal Pikein, Hadei Kachi Amida. Nonetheless, despite everything we just said, nonetheless, this is the measure. La Kafia L'Sitra Achra Be'Mina V'Digmasa. Do you know how you can knock down the Sitra Achra, which is the other word for the for euphemism, other terminology, for that which is ungodly and unholy, the dark side? You know how you knock down where there's no light? You know how you knock down the Klippa? The answer is you have to get it. You have to fight fire with fire. You have to fight the Klippa with what the Klippa understands. In other words, the Nefesh HaBahamas, the animal soul, which comes from Klippa. What makes the Nefesh HaBahamas tick? What makes people function? It's three words that people will always say. You want to try to motivate them to do one thing or the other. What's the three words they're going to say? What's in it for me? What's in it? That's the one. What's in it? What I get? Are you paying me something? Am I getting something? What's in it for me? Who's talking? The Nefesh HaBahamas is talking. The animal soul is talking. Because the animal soul knows only one thing. It knows I. I. Soul knows. I. I reign supreme. And because all it knows is I, it's not a keli. It's not a vessel for elikus. Because to be a vessel, to be an envelope in which you can actually download godliness, what do you need to have? No I. You have to be in a state of bittul. If a person knows everything or thinks he knows everything, is he ever going to learn anything new? How would he? He knows everything already. If the cup is filled with coffee, how are you going to put more coffee inside? It's never going to happen. If the person is so certain, rock solid, and his opinions are unshakable, how will he ever reconsider? The answer is he won't. So when you want to allow God into your life, if everything is filled with you, there'll be no room for God. Who has room for God? So the only way for a person to be able to relate to allow God into his life is to carve out an empty space. He has to get rid of some of the yeshus. And when he has less yeshus, then there's room for something which is bigger than him. And the less yeshus, the less selfishness and self-obsession he has, the more room there is for God. And that's why tzaddikim reach a point of total transparency. They care, don't think at all about themselves. They never ask what's in it for me. Who am I? They don't say what's in it for God. Is this right? Does the Torah want this? Does Hashem want this? What's in it for the Jewish people, they may ask? What's in it for the nation, for the congregation? Not for me. They're not interested in me. So a person is going to has this big Nefesh HaBahamas. He's got this big, enormous sense of arrogance and entitlement and selfishness. And that's all he's interested in. And then you're going to come and you're going to say, listen, animal soul, there's a higher calling. There's something more to life than just yourself. And the guy says, really? What else is it life for myself? I'm pretty certain I'm the only one who exists. So no, this is, you know, there's a creator and there's a purpose, a mission. He comes back with the same refrain, what's in it for me? So what I get from it? So what's the only way to be able to bring that down? What's the only way to be able to crack that enamel? If you're just going to think about holy thoughts, you're not going to be able to get through to him. So the only thing that's going to break this sense of unhealthy confidence, not a healthy self-confidence, but an arrogance, the only thing that's going to break this cycle of selfishness is when a person is going to be able to experience what's called the Michas HaRuach V'Lev Nishbar. When a person will be able to experience a sense of humility, true humility, and brokenheartedness. So humility and brokenheartedness will bring him down from his pedestal, get him off his high horse, and enable him now to deal with the truth. But this is something that requires the only way, who's going to get through to him? The only way he's going to get through to him is a language that he or she understands. And what language does he or she understand? The language he or she understands is the language of the Nefesh HaBahamas, of Atzvos. Why? Because Atzvos comes from the same thing. Atzvos, why is Atzvos Klippa? Why is sadness Klippa? Because sadness is about yeshus. It's about arrogance. A person is sad. Why are they sad? Because I don't have. Because I wasn't fortunate. I wasn't lucky. It's all about I. If there wouldn't be I, there would be no arrogance. I mean, there would be no sadness. The sadness comes because I feel entitled, because I should have. So when a person reaches a level where he's able to get past that, now we know that he's made room in his life for God. But sometimes the only way to get there is by beating down the Nefesh HaBahamas. This is Kamay Merazal. This is in accordance with what our sages tell us in Masechah Sanhedrin on page 39b, that the Gemara says, quote, Minei uve abo lishte, be nagra. In other words, which means from the forest comes the axe that chops down the trees. Until the advent of plastic and melamine, what the axe handles used to always be made out of? Wood. So the axe head is made of metal, but the axe handle is made of wood. And now it's a funny thing. What cuts down the wood? In other words, the only thing that's able to cut down the trees is the wood itself. And if you wouldn't have the wood handle, you would never get the trees down. And the point that's being made is that the only thing that can knock down the selfishness, the arrogance of the nefesh habamas of the animals, and therefore when it so to speak, you get it encounters you. So what do? So then the one who can handle him is like him. Like the Gemara tells a story that Rebbe saw somebody who killed a snake. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm gonna have to call into that. So he said the snake killed the snake. And this is the meaning of B'chol Eitzav Yomeser. This is the meaning of, out of all sadness, there is a prophet. By Yisrael, what is the prophet? The prophet is HaSimcha HaBo Achara Eitzav. What are we looking for? Joy. How do we get there? Sadness. How could that be? Because that sadness enables us to get past ourselves. And once we can get past ourselves, then we can experience.